It's a prayer. When I read scripture, it helps if I can, the words become mine. I must admit, in some of the sentences in this prayer are not how I would pray. But talking with God is extremely personal, and we use the words that mean something to us, and it's okay. O Lord, hear my plea for justice. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer, for it comes from honest lips. Declare me innocent, for you see those who do right. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from wicked people who attack me, from murderous enemies who surround me. They are without pity. Listen to their boasting. They track me down and surround me, watching for the chance to throw me to the ground. They are like hungry lions, eager to tear me apart, like young lions hiding in ambush. Arise, O Lord, stand against them and bring them to their knees. Rescue me from the wicked with your sword. By the power of your hand, O Lord, destroy those who look to this world for their reward, but satisfy the hunger of your treasured ones. May their children have plenty, leaving an inheritance for their descendants. Because I am righteous, I will see you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied.
Just coming up to speak, I realize that we have this bouquet here, and we have five white carnations in it. We'll make mention of it at the annual meeting at 1 o'clock. But on our annual meeting Sunday, we have a bouquet like this to remember and to give thanks to God for the lives of those in our church family who went to be with the Lord in 2012. And each of these carnations represent very treasured and important people in our church family and fellowship. And you'll remember them, some of them. You'll know them. Bill Porterfield and Jacob Grobelaar, Esther Ford, Marge Jenkins, Diane Bowler. Let's just take a moment to pray. Just saying these names, Lord God, causes so much to well up within my own heart and spirit. The wonderful gift that you gave this church family, in some cases through many, many years, to be blessed by the strength and faith, the devotion and love of these five people. We thank you for each of them, and we thank you, Lord, that even though it is hard in ways that maybe we can't take measure for their loved ones, to know still their loss and their being gone, they experience something even right now in your presence that's full and rich with an awareness of so much more to come. Thank you for each of them, and bless their families, and bless our church, God, to continue to go from strength to strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, from today through to Easter Sunday, that's five Sundays counting today, and throwing in there Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, I want to take a look at prayer in the Psalms. So every week is going to be a psalm. Today is Psalm 17. I mean, if you want to talk about prayer, I mean, set of the Psalms. The Psalms are the hymn book. They're like the prayer book of the church, because in the Psalms you get life sometimes at its brutal worst. You get life when it's just, I mean, there's no shutters down. The shutters are pulled back and the blinds are up, and it can be raw sometimes in terms of the experience and the life situation of the person writing the psalm. And so the prayers may indeed not seem like ones that we would be motivated to pray for him, you know, but they're real. I mean, they're touching the very deepest parts and realities of the lives of those who are writing them. I want to try over these 5 weeks, seven messages, not to talk about prayer. And preachers can be prone to this as a doctrine, as a concept, as a philosophy, as an idea, but to dig into these Psalms and let them draw out for us prayer as experience, real, honest, open, transparent. I know if I was to ask everyone who's ever prayed, put up their hands, well, you'd all put up your hands, and I'd put up mine. You know, yeah, of course, I pray. But you know what? I know for myself, and I dare say it would be true for you too, there's so much more that we know that we could, that's there, that we long and we yearn to enter into in that relationship with God, that connection that prayer builds and establishes and nurtures with God, our life and God life, bringing them together in prayer in ways that transform, transformational for us. And so I'm going to try, as best I can, I want you to hold me accountable to this over this next month, to be honest and transparent with you. I want you to be like that with me. I mean, if during the course of this you're just not sensing that any of this is any really, sparking anything in your life, it seems rather stale and, you know, ho-hum, I mean, tell me. There's too much at stake, really. I mean, I just have this real sense of it. Too much at stake, not just for our personal lives, but for our church life, our life together as God's family. Let me explain what I mean by some of that. I thank God, I really do, for every single one of the service clubs that are in our community, in the communities that we live in. God bless every one of the service clubs. But Knox Church isn't a service club. That's not who we are. That's not our primary identity. And I say this with respect. We are not the Knox Rotary. We're the church. We're Knox Church. And as the church, we have a mission to share the good news of a gracious God who opens up the door for us to come into relationship with him through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our mission as the church is to share that good news. And prayer that's real, prayer that's honest, prayer that's open to God, prayer that's alert to God, prayer that's a confident and compelling and convinced prayer that God is active and present in our midst, even in times of calamity and confusion. That's the prayer that fans the flame of that God-given mission that we have. And so prayer shouldn't be ho-hum. And not just for some of the time, but it's for all time. Pray all the time. Pray everywhere, the Scripture says, because it's the spiritual fuel. And I want for you, and I want for Knox Church that, with the price of gas, I don't often put in the platinum. I have to admit that, John, at Pioneer. But, I do want the high test. I do want the high grade. For myself and for you and for us as a family here in Knox. I want to start today by looking at Psalm 17 under the heading of asking, asking God. And the first thing I want to say is simply this. When it comes to prayer, don't be afraid to ask. By nature, we just seem to be reticent people. We don't like to ask others for help, do we? We have this sort of innate sense of self-sufficiency, of wanting to manage and take care of things on our own. And after all, I mean, asking God, I mean, especially if you got this Scottish background, you know, and you're Presbyterian, how terribly impolite. I mean, it's just not one of those things that you'd do. I mean, ask God for something. No. I mean, our version of the faith really favors something that's much more polite and circumspect. And, don't get into this, perpetual requesting. I mean, just be nice. You don't have to appeal. You don't have to plead. You don't have to ask God for anything. You know something, Psalm 17, if you listen to it as Mark read it, it's not a psalm that I would say is request challenged. It's a psalm that challenges, I think in a very real measure, all of what I call our spiritual correctness. You've heard of political correctness? Well, this is spiritual correctness that, you don't have to ask God for. No, it challenges that. You know, if you went through it, I could be wrong here, and I don't think I need a calculator for this, but in 15 verses, there are 17 requests. 15 verses, 17 asks. That's what's in Psalm 17. And the psalm teaches us that we should never, ever be afraid to ask God. In fact, this is a gift of God to us. It blows the mind. God gives us the gift of being able to ask. That's God's gift to us. And you see it in the psalm. Help me, protect me, guard me, keep me, deliver me, heal me. You know, no request challenge psalm in the least. In fact, what a psalm like this reveals to me is that David, who wrote this, he had that depth of relationship with God. This was deep calling to deep. This just wasn't, once in a while it comes along, help God. This was someone who really knew God and had that, can I put it like this, this comfort level in the relationship to ask, to just be very open and honest with God about that. And what I'm going to try and show you in this psalm is three things that the psalmist teaches us, I believe. To ask simply, to ask repeatedly, there's an interesting one, and to ask from the heart, to ask really without hedging, without curtains closed, but open up to ask boldly. So first of all, to ask simply. I think one of the hang-ups with asking prayer has got to be the whole language issue. I can't pray because I don't know the vocabulary. If you really want me to pray, then I'd have to go away to school like George has for 3 years or some people takes three. It took me longer, slow George. But anyway, ever heard of failing at seminary? Well, I didn't fail. No, it just took me longer, okay, right? But I don't have the vocabulary. I don't know the right words. I can't put them in the right order. I mean, get somebody else to pray. It's amazing. It really is. You go through the Bible, and I apologize for this. Maybe you think, well, George, he just prays incredibly complicated prayers. But nowhere in the Bible do you find a complicated prayer. Lots of prayers, but none of them are complicated. In fact, most of them are rather simple, direct to the point. They get to the point, and they're asking-type prayers as well. I mean, go through the psalm that we just had. Hear me. Listen to me. Pay attention to me. Sounds like one of your children, right? bend down and hear my cry. Nothing complicated there. Guard me, hide me, rescue me. You know, there's nothing fancy, nothing high fashion. You know, sorry, John, nothing British about the praying that's going on there. It's just ground level kind of praying. You know, sometimes I think that when we pay too much attention to the kind of language, you know, I could never pray out loud, someone says. I mean, it's tough enough just to pray in my head. But, you know, I think when we pay too much attention to the language, that what that ends up doing, it ends up building barriers and creating a distance and obstacles get in the way. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. And you can read it toward, I think it's Matthew 7, 14, somewhere in there. Jesus says, pray, ask your Father. Ask the Father. Now, when my children were young, and I can still remember back that far, and they had a bad dream. And they woke up in the middle of the night just with a start. They did not think to themselves for a moment, oh, I wonder how I should phrase this to mom or dad. How shall I put this? Help! Dad, mom, get here quickly. You know, come to my rescue. There was no pause, no hesitation. I mean, they just burst it out. They let us know what was going on and what was at stake for them. It was immediate. It was direct. And you know what? Above all, it was simple. It was not complicated. They just knew. They knew that their mom, their dad were going to be there for them without question, you know, quickly, immediately, right there alongside of them, with them. And that came out of relationship. See, relationship is everything in prayer. When there's a relationship and it's close and it's intimate and it's real, you don't mess around with the language. You don't have to. I mean, you just really don't have to. You don't need big words. You don't need impressive literary structure. You've got relationship. And you just talk and you listen. It's really a very simple ask. In fact, it was so simple for Jesus, he put it like this. He said, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Now, Psalm 17 may not be the one that you want to use as a prayer guide and basis. That's okay. Mark says personal here. But you know, use the scripture to pray. If you wonder about, if you hesitate about what's the language, I mean, just find a prayer in the scripture. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1 would be a great one too. But find scripture prayers and begin to use them as your ask. And then keep on asking. You know, in the first six verses of Psalm 17, I have to say this, okay. In the first six verses, David, it's almost like he's a good preacher. He repeats himself five times. I had people say, George, why do you keep repeating? Well, I'm just like David. No, I won't go that far, no. But he repeats himself. Now, he changes the way that he phrases it. He changes the way of the words, but it really means the same thing each time. He wasn't that uncomfortable with asking God again and again and again and again and again. No hesitation in doing that. You know, you talk to some folks and they might say to you, well, you know, that really is crude and rude and impolite. I mean, ask God once. And then if you think you have to keep on asking God again and again, that just simply means you didn't have enough faith the first time and you're not sure that God's going to answer you and you really don't believe in God. So, you know, just ask him once. He's got it. He remembers, right? God doesn't forget. Now, there's a way in which I find that. Yeah, I hear that, but there's a way in which I find it rather strange. And I find it slightly, if I can say it like this, weird. Because again, when I look at the scripture, when I look at Psalm 17, when I look at other scriptures, I don't see God ever getting tired, getting upset, getting wearied by David or the other psalmist praying the same thing again and again and again and again, the repetitive kind of praying. You know, like, you might ask yourself, well, why then does God indulge us in that. Like, why does God need to hear us pray again and again and again and again the same kind of thing? And that may not even be the right question. There may be a better question. I think that there really is. The question may be, why do I? Why do I need to keep praying? Why did David need to keep praying? Why do we need to keep praying the same thing, same situation, again and again and again? Well, I'm not going to tell you that I got a verse I can quote in the Bible on this. I'm just going to give you my own experience on it. And this is not just from the far-off past. I mean, I'm living this still. You know, I'm living in some situations with this. You face challenges that really seem overwhelming, that leave you with a lot of uncertainty and question. And you pray. You pray every day. And in many situations for me, I pray many times during the course of the day. And all the time, it's a very big ask. And I keep on asking. Here's what I found happens, at least for me, when I have this big ask in my life and I keep asking again and again and again. You know, when it starts out the very first time, it's, God, help me. I don't know what's going on. In fact, all of this is frightening. It scares me. I can't figure it out. I can't put any rhyme or reason to it. Help me, God. It's just like helpless prayer. And I keep praying again and again and again, many times a day, and you know, maybe over a week and a month and maybe over a year or even longer. And what happens is that prayer starts to change. The help is still always there. That continues to be there, but help me, God. My trust is in you. You alone are my strength. You're my help. You're the only one who can see me through this, get me through this, deliver me. You see, there's the help is still there, the ask is still there, but the prayer has started to mature and develop in the relationship with God. We need to keep asking God. The scriptures tell us this because God is always and ever lovingly at work in our lives, and that work may require days before the answer comes, or weeks, or months, or it can take many years. And in some cases, I've seen for people, it's taken a lifetime. It's been generational. But what happens is that our lives get opened up to be more and more receptive, even as we keep asking, to the grace and the love and the peace and the strength of God. Last thing, maybe the praise team could come up, is to pray from the heart. You know, not with the shutters down, the curtains closed, but wide open, real, honest, right before God. And that kind of prayer is most often bold kind of praying, very direct kind of praying. In verse 13 of Psalm 17, here's what the psalmist David writes. He says, "Arise, O Lord." Now, that's not a question. That's an imperative. Exclamation mark after. Arise, O Lord. Now, I don't know whether that feels a little offensive to you to pray to God like that, because, you know, sometimes we think to ourselves, don't we, that God's the one who's responsible for speaking in the imperative to us? Did you ever think that you had the right or the privilege or the gift from God to speak in the imperative to God? Well, if it's in your heart, you can. I don't, you know, thank goodness I didn't have the job of paraphrasing this, but, you know, maybe I shouldn't give you George's, you know, the George's International Version, the GIV, or George's Living Version, I don't know. But come on, God, get off your butt. Get up. No time to be sitting down and just hanging out and being comfortable. I need help right now, right here. Let's get going. It's in the imperative. And God receives that. You know, when you're in a desperate situation and moment in life, there should be no hesitation. And just coming straight with and straight way to God. God, here's what this situation needs. Now, God may have to teach you along the way how to reform and reshape and remake that prayer. But you have the right and you have the privilege of bringing it. I mean, again, I just come back to my children, you know, when they were very young, they just saw themselves as totally, absolutely dependent upon Jan and myself as parents. And when they were in a desperate moment, there was never a hesitation to speak in the imperative with me or with Jan, because they knew, they had the confidence that there was no, I mean, they had no substitute for mom, for dad, just to be right there immediately, instantly with them, guarding them, protecting them, helping them, carrying them. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this, to come boldly. I think, come from the heart, will you? From the depth of your being and your experience, come to God who's gracious, and you'll receive His mercy. He'll give you His grace. When you need it most, God's going to be there with you and for you. And the end of it all, and we're singing, what are we singing? We Receive Your Blessing. It's really a good song to sing here as we conclude, because the end of it all is found in verse 15. I think this shows the movement of the ask of the psalmist. What David says, the end of it all for him is just to be satisfied with God. I think that's to know the blessing of God, the fullness of God life, the richness of the experience of life and relationship with God, just overflowing, brimming over the top, just flowing out of, even in the midst of the hardest of times. You know, I just end with this. You know, the ask, don't be afraid to ask, okay? Because we ask in one way not so much to get. God will give. God loves to give. But we ask not so much to get as better to be satisfied with the gift of God's fullness and life in us. So, I let's stand. We're going to sing. But as we sing this, let there be even this week for you a new beginning in the freedom that you have to ask. Ask big. Don't be small in your ask. Ask simply. You don't have to make it complicated. Just pray from the heart and keep praying. Keep the ask there before God. And God will open the door. Let's sing together. We Receive, Lord, Your blessing.